I want to continue my messages on the great 1859 revival, and we have come now, having viewed the start of the revival in County Antrim and how it spread through that county, miracle following miracle. I want to come to talk about Belfast, our city, as it was gripped in the mighty flame of a mighty revival time of blessing. There were three Presbyterian congregations and an Episcopal church, to which the beginnings of the revival can be traced. On the 17th of April, 1858, the Reverend Thomas Toy, the minister of Great Georgia Street Presbyterian Church, a building that is now no more, after hearing of the Great Awakening that had started in the United States of America, he called his church together for a revival prayer meeting. Mr. Toy was brought up in the south of Ireland. He was healed as a southerner. He had a most unique personality and was the outstanding soul-winning minister in Belfast. He also was a very unique and humorous man. It was said that his wife wanted to have a new hat. And he said, "Dear, you can't afford to have a new hat. You will just have to wear your old hat. And you're not allowed into my church if you haven't a hat on. So just keep your old hat." Well, it said Mrs. Toy was very angry, and she went to a second-hand furniture dealer, and she said to him, "I have a piece of furniture, and I think that you could sell it for me." So she brought the piece of furniture to the man, or the man came to the house and looked at it, and he says, "I'll pay you for it." And he paid her, and the piece of furniture disappeared. When Mr. Toy came home, his wife said, "I have something to show you." And she came down the stairs with a beautiful hat on. And he said, "How did you get that?" "Well," she said, "you'll have to do without the furniture and the mirror on the furniture in our bedroom, for I sold it." "Sold it?" he said. "Yes, I sold it." He says, "Well, I'll teach you a lesson." So the next Sunday, Mrs. Toy came to church with a beautiful hat on. And it is reported that he stood up and he said, "I want you to all welcome Mrs. Toy. She's actually wearing a piece of furniture on her head." And of course the congregation laughed. And she was always known, we are told, as the woman that had the bit of furniture on her head. But he certainly was a unique character, but a tremendous gospel preacher. In fact, during the revival, a minister who left off his black suit so he could not be recognized and came in colored clothes to have a look at Great Georgia Street and the church packed overwhelmingly as the revival was taking place. And he said to a man, he said, "What do you think of this man Toy?" The man said, "Some toy." He said, "Why?" "Oh," he says, "he's to blame for this revival. And you know, businesses are closing down. Nobody's going to business or going to pray." And he says, "This town never was so bad as it is." And the man responsible is Mr. Toy. The man who had been questioned said to the man who was asking the questions, "And what do you do?" He says, "I'm a publican." "Well," he says, "I know why you don't like Mr. Toy. He has closed more public houses in Belfast than any other person." "How did he do that?" "He got them all converted. And now, they're not closing by the ones. They're closing by the three, the fours, and the half dozens. Because there's a revival. And I blame Mr. Toy." Wouldn't it be wonderful to be blamed for such an act of seeing a mighty, old-fashioned, heaven-sent revival? There was another great minister in Belfast at that time, the Reverend Theophilus Campbell. He was the incumbent of Trinity Episcopal Church. And he also started a prayer meeting among his flock for a special outpouring of the Spirit of God. And sinners started to be saved. He opened a Bible class which you could never get into. You were lucky if you got just to the windows. And he was a great personal soul winner. And God used him mightily for the honor and glory of his name. Now, these two brethren, Mr. Toy, the Presbyterian, and Mr. Campbell, the Episcopalian, thought it would be a good thing to bring the men from Connor and Ahuachill that had seen this revival start, come and give their testimonies to the Belfast people. And so the first visit of the converts from Connor and Ahuachill were to St. George's Street Church. Mr. Toy himself tells about that visit. He says, "I brought three lay brethren, two of them converts from Ahuachill to Belfast, who held meetings morning and evening for 3 days, and whose visit awakened immense interest in our area. There were no screams nor prostrations during their addresses, but there was a mighty deep and evident impression." A colleague of Mr. Toy was the Reverend Robert Knox. He was moderator for that year of the Belfast Presbytery. He was minister of Linen Hall Street Church, another church that has been removed since that time. Mr. Knox, as moderator of the Belfast Presbytery, invited the converts to come to his church in Linen Hall Street. And on the first Sabbath of June, 1859, a meeting was held in Linen Hall Street Church and was addressed by two of the converts from Connor. God used those two men to shake that whole district. People who were sitting listening were suddenly struck by the power of God. Mr. Knox reported there was resistless energy in the whole meeting as an impression was made and as people came under the power of God. On the Tuesday following, a revival meeting was held in Berry Street Presbyterian Church. That church is still standing. It had a very famous minister, Dr. Hugh Hanna. And Dr. Hanna said to the people, what we have seen in Lindenhall Street, we need to see in Berry Street. And there was a great meeting in the old Berry Street Presbyterian Church. The elders of the church were so impressed and were so impressed by so many people asking them to show them the way to heaven that they decided to have a second meeting the next evening. And the second meeting far, far went beyond the first. The roads were blocked. There were people crying. There were other people singing. There were men and women going to their friends who were unsaved and pleading with them to identify themselves with Christ and come to the cross. And for the first time in Belfast, many thousands of souls were brought under the influence of truth. And most solemn circumstances went on during 6 weeks. Not only the population came to the meetings, but many people from all over Ulster came, caught the fire, and went back to their churches in the other counties filled with the power of God. And that fire was spread. More and more, the multitudes got larger and larger. And so these men thought they should have a meeting in the park. And they called a meeting in the park. And it was estimated that 15,000 people met in the park. And there was a time of great rejoicing. That meeting in the park, organized by Townsend Street Presbyterian Church, Great George Street Presbyterian Church, Berry Street Presbyterian Church, among the Presbyterians. And from Christ Church, Trinity St. Paul's, and St. Paul's among the Episcopalians, faithful ministers labored. Donegal Place, Wesley Place, and Salem among the Methodists, and among the smaller denominations, all them who were evangelical joined heartily in that service. So great was that service that they decided to have another one. And the Presbytery of Belfast had a meeting and advised the people to go to the second a great meeting. A year before it, in the very same park, C.H. Spurgeon had preached to over 10,000 people. But the second meeting, there was 15,000. And at the next meeting, it was said there was up to 25,000. Think of 25,000 people over in the park. They divided the meetings into thousands, a crowd of about 1,000. So there was about 25 meetings all going with 1,000 people at each. And God started to see him. People who came and were standing up 1 minute, the next minute were down on their knees calling on God for salvation. And so earnest with these people, they went round the other people in the great meeting and said, "Are you a Christian? If you are, lead me to Christ." Think of it. Ungodly people searching for a Christian to lead them to the Lord. That's revival. That's when God takes over. He doesn't need ministers or learned people. He just needs people completely dedicated to the Lord. There was a hall down, a town that was called the Victoria Memorial Hall. It eventually became a brethren hall, a gospel hall. And the denominations decided that they would take that hall. And so they did. And Dr. Morgan, a very strong evangelical preacher from Fisherwick Presbyterian Church, and the president of the Methodist Church and the moderator of the Presbyterian Church, and the Bishop Episcopal Bishop of Down, and part of Antrim at that time, all joined together. And what a meeting that was. The records do not tell us how many were converted. But it is thought that almost every unconverted soul that came to that meeting was gloriously saved by grace. But at that meeting, for the first time, the Unitarian churches met and they said they had sent Dr. Montgomery, who was the founder of Unitarianism in Ireland. They sent him to be their top observer. And then they called a synod and passed resolutions. Resolutions blaspheming what was being done. Resolutions which were trying to strike at the deity of the Son of God and at the power of the blood that he shed. And it has been reckoned that Unitarianism, that at that time was very strong in Belfast, started to perish. And it has been perishing ever since. The Roman Catholic Church united with the Unitarians in their opposition to the gospel preaching. But Dr. Knox, another Dr. Knox, there were plenty of Knox around there. The devil was getting well knocked. Dr. Knox, who was the bishop of the Episcopalian Church, the Church of Ireland, he joined up with the rest of the ministers who were evangelical. And there were times of refreshing from the presence of God. Dr. Johnson, the moderator of the General Assembly for the year, he opened the meeting by saying, the meeting in the park, when the destroyer of men's lives was vanished, I refer to Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo, the crowned heads of Europe fell down on bended knees, and with uncovered heads acknowledged themselves grateful that God who had put an end to the shedding of human blood. And when the God of peace, said Dr. Johnson, is now treading the streets of Belfast, he has come to stop the shedding of the blood of sinners in the darkness of a lost eternity. He has come to work upon our hearts so that the immortals for whom Christ died shall be brought into the kingdom of God. He said, my friends, we are in a world that lieth in wickedness. There are scoffers who say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. He said, let us not give occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme by any levity, trifling, impropriety, unbecoming this solemn occasion. Let us set the Lord God before us and so realize his awful presence in this place. Let good be done. Let our God be glorified. We are specially met to do homage to the Holy Ghost, whose convincing and converting power has been so strikingly manifest amongst us in these last months. And let us not resist him, nor grieve him, but ask unanimously, earnestly, expectingly, that he will descend upon us in this day, as he did in the day of Pentecost, in answer to the many prayers offered up and to be offered, and that many sons and daughters may this day be born into the kingdom of the Almighty Lord God. What the moderator asked God for took place. It was said that at every one of the meetings, some 25 of them around the place, with some thousand at each one of them, there was a breath of the Spirit of God. And before we knew, one witness said, it had ceased to be a preaching meeting. It had become a prayer meeting. And most of the prayers were not being offered by Christian men and women, but were being offered by sinners calling on God to save their souls. I thought about that this week. Wouldn't it be a great thing to stand among thousands of people and hear them cry to God for mercy? And then see them changed by the power of God. Tommy Toy got them to sing that day the old psalm. He took me from a fearful pit and from a miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock. He established my way. And over the park there came a song. He put a new song in my mouth. Our God to magnify. Many shall see it and shall fear. And on the Lord rely. The meeting went on. 11 o'clock, midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And between 5 and 6, they had their benedictions. And it was said that at least that day, there were 800 persons who professed to have been converted to God and came back home a new creature in Christ. All things have passed away, and behold, all things became new. You've all heard of the Guinness family in Dublin. People that arose to strength in the south of Ireland because of their interest in the liquor business. They had a young person in their family called Grattan Guinness. He's only a young boy. But he got gloriously saved. And he became a child of God and a preacher of the word. He was the most popular preacher in the Ulster Revival. And he it was that was called from time to time to come again and again to Belfast. There was never less than 15,000 at the open air services he held. And he was able to meet up with the predominating people in high rank and in all positions. He startled them. He amazed them. But he got through to their hearts. And every day that he was in Ulster, his day finished at 2 or 3 in the morning as he conversed with crowds of inquiries who were crying all around him, "What shall we do to be saved?" Another great evangelist visited Northern Ireland at that time, Brownlow North, a great preacher. And he worked so hard that the Presbyterian Assembly, meeting that June, passed a resolution of thanks to him for the way he gave himself truly to the Lord. The General Assembly of that year met in the city of Dublin. It was an amazing assembly. Dr. Gibson, he summed up the tone of the meetings thus: "It was felt throughout the deliberations of our assembly that there was an overflowing sense of God's presence. God had visited his own church. God had purged his own church. God had called people who had backslidden very badly back to the Savior. But best of all, God saved tens of thousands of precious souls." And in a resolution passed by the General Assembly, they said with reverence and awe, and at the same time with inexpressible joy, "The sovereign and infinite grace, which notwithstanding our many provocations, was bestowed on us with such evidence and abundant tokens of the divine favor. The revival fires were burning with such power that the General Assembly, halfway through their week of business, had to be abandoned, as the congregations at home in the north called the ministers back. So many souls seeking Christ, we need your help. Forget about the General Assembly. Come back and win these souls to Christ." Wasn't that a wonderful happening? That a great church meeting and passing resolutions and rejoicing had to stop its deliberations in order to meet the cries of souls crying for mercy. when I read these stories, as I have done, when I think of the men who gave their minds and hearts to this work, as I think of the joy and the songs that were sung and the days of God's right hand, I say, Lord, let me now depart in peace if I could only see a great revival of true religion in the city that I love and among the people that I love. Oh, for the floods on a thirsty land. Oh, for a mighty revival. Oh, for a sanctified, fearless band to heal its arrival. What about signing on tonight and saying to you, oh God, I haven't prayed the way I ought to have prayed. I haven't been the Christian I've ought to be. Oh God, my land needs a great revival. You did it 150 years ago. You can do it again. I'm signing on to work for you in the revival you're going to send. And then every day, go to your bedroom, shut to the door, get down on your knees, and plead with God that in wrath he would remember mercy, and that he would open to us in our day the windows of heaven, as we were hearing this morning, and will not be able to contain the glory of a work of salvation that will shake hell to its foundations, which will amaze the world, and which will bring all the glory to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Oh, brethren and sisters, only a revival can meet the need of this dark hour. I have seen in services in the old days of some of the things in a very small way that took place in those meetings, but they reminded me of what God can do. He's a multiplier. Oh, may multiply his power. And may we as a church be right out in the front line for God. I'll pay the price, Lord Jesus. I'll go the second mile. I will go to the place of prayer every day, and I'll not cease until the reports come in that God has graciously and in our day started a fire that can never be put out. And if you're here tonight, a lost soul, you're nearer hell than ever you've been. You're nearer to the darkness of the judgment. You're nearer to the blackness of eternal damnation. Oh, turn while the Spirit in mercy is pleading. Steer for the harbor light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight? May God get a people from this congregation who will go through with God. I want to be in the front seat. I want to see it and experience it and rejoice in it. May God give us a heart and a decision to be a worker in the revival that's going to come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, thou hast taken us back to what happened 150 years ago. And those converts are all now in heaven. And I look over the uncountable hosts that no man can number. And among them are all these converts from this great revival, singing the praises of God, rejoicing with all their hearts and all their souls and all their minds. O God, I pray that Thou wilt give us all a willingness to sign off the world, to sign off its pleasures and its follies and its company, and to sign on with King Jesus, to be a toiler in the field, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Do us good this night. And may God's grace and God's mercy and God's peace be with us. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.